I'm not looking over there again. I'm not. I wish I had not seen him walk in. Now I'm all distracted. I'm supposed to be in a state of worship, but instead, I'm fighting with lust. I feel like standing up and saying, "Hi, my name is Madeline, and I'm a lustaholic. Oh, Lord, please help me to stop lusting over this guy. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen." "Maddie!" Maggie, my roommate and partner in crime, hisses through clenched teeth. "Madeline!" She jams the offering basket into my elbow, snagging the sleeve of my new crocheted cardigan. I quickly untangle the black thread and pass the basket to the woman sitting next to me. "Lust, you say?" "Yes, lust. In church, no less. How can this be? A fine, upstanding Christian young lady about to start her last year of college at a fine, upstanding Christian university struggles with one of the most base and primal aspects of the human condition. I just can't seem to get him out of my head. I do okay for a little while, then something will happen, some situation will come up, and then let the daydreams begin. This whole elaborate scene starts playing in my head like some cheesy chick flick. What I'm wearing, more importantly, what he's wearing, which is usually a black t-shirt that fits him snugly across his broad shoulders, paired with faded, worn-in Levi's 501s that look as if they were tailored made for him. And I even write elaborate dialogue in these daydreams. He usually says something witty that makes me laugh, which is strange since, well, I've never even spoken to him. "So, y'all get much out of the message today?" Maggie asks as we cross the crowded church parking lot toward my car. "Yeah, it was pretty good," I mumble as I struggle with my seatbelt. "Uh-huh, I saw you eyeballing him. I can't believe you still have a thing for that guy," Maggie says into the mirror while she expertly outlines and paints her matte blood-red lips. She double-checks her artistry in the mirror that is clipped on the passenger side visor, which she installed in my car during our freshman year. "Hun, I don't know why you just don't go up to him and just say hi." "Oh, I don't know. Maybe because I lack the sexual fortitude that others around me exude." "Yikes. I didn't mean that to sound as biting as it came out. But we've had this discussion too many times in the past for it not to irritate me." "And just what is that supposed to mean?" she says as she feigns a hurt look. "Oh, come on, Mag. You know I can't," I say. "I'd probably trip or fall or both, and a long dribble of unintelligent gibberish would ooze from my mouth." I make a quick left turn out of the church parking lot and into traffic. Maggie shrugs and goes back to her makeup application, digging in her purse for various tubes and compacts. "He's just a guy," she says into the mirror, while blotting her chin with a powder puff. With her Dallas drawl, she makes it sound so simple, like he's just some guy, and not my mysterious Adonis. Adonis. A pagan god for my pagan thoughts. "Just walk up to him and introduce yourself and let him do the rest," she says and zips up her makeup bag. "Let him do all the talking. Just smile. Look him in the eyes and touch your hair a lot. Guys love that." I stifle an outburst of laughter at the mental image of myself doing something like that. With my extreme lack of feminine smoothness, Of course Maggie would think talking to guys is simple. Guys always look up when Maggie saunters in a room. I don't know whether it's her big platinum blonde hair styled very closely to the classic Marilyn Monroe style, or her delicate cheekbones and dark brown exotic eyes and porcelain skin, all of which she inherited from her half-Japanese mother. Or maybe it's just the plain fact that she seems to put it out there, and guys take notice. Maggie describes herself as hip-heavy, a gal built for comfort and not speed, she once told me. She has 3 inches and a good 15 pounds on me and my 5-foot-2-inch petite frame, but she wears it so well, It seems that there's always some guy checking her out wherever we go.